Me back to Psalm 103. Can a message be too simple? A true gospel message. A message that is centered on Jesus Christ crucified. Is it possible for a message like that to be too simple? I used to know a man who sat under the gospel for a while, but he decided he just couldn't do it anymore because he said it didn't challenge his mind enough. It wasn't complicated enough. For the true gospel preacher, simple is the goal of every single message. That's his own personal challenge. Is it possible for this message to be more simple, meaning more singular, than the last message? Is it possible to view Christ more clearly and more openly than we did in the last message? That's the goal of the true preacher. And that's the desire of the true hearer. Can I see Christ more clearly? Can I hear Christ more simply, more directly, more uninterruptedly than I did the last time I heard him preached? Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Just tell me that same old story. For that reason, for the sake of the story, for the sake of the simplicity, I fall in love again with Psalm 103 every time I hear it. Just somebody saying, turn to Psalm 103. I love it. I love this psalm. A brother read this in my study recently, and it blessed my heart so much. It just blessed, just reading it, just going down and reading it. It blessed my heart so much. And tonight, I just want to go through the psalm, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing about all of his benefits to us. Now, one of the things that makes this psalm so sweet is the fact that David never asked for one thing. Not one. In 22 verses, he never asked the Lord for one thing. All he did was bless the Lord and bless the Lord and bless the Lord. That's all he did. Verse 1, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless means kneel before. It means adore, praise, salute, thank. Who? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord means Jehovah, God Almighty. Bless the Lord. Who do you want to bless the Lord, David? He said, I want me to bless him. I want me to bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We pray publicly on behalf of us. When a man stands up publicly, he's praying on behalf of us. We preach on behalf of us. But I don't want to get lost in the crowd of us. Some of the us may be worshiping Him tonight. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to get lost in the cracks of the us. I don't want to be satisfied with others blessing His holy name and then find out in the end that I didn't bless Him myself. David said, I want to make sure that my soul blesses His name. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. All that is within me, my mind, my heart, this mind is so fickle. This mind prefers to think about anything but my Lord. If anything will come, it'll flip to that. Lord, would you please cause my mind, please cause my heart, cause everything that is within me to bless your holy name. Kids, children, I pray God might cause me to bless His holy name. And I pray God might cause you to bless His holy name. One of these days, I pray one of these days God causes you children to truly in your soul bless the Lord. I mean truly kneel before Him, truly praise Him for being God, for being the true and living God, for being a just God and a Savior. I pray that one day the Lord reveals to you what that means. A just God and a Savior. And I pray He causes you to bless Him for it. I pray He causes me to bless Him for it. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. What is His holy name? Moses asked Him that one time. He said, what is your name? Who should I tell them sent me? And the Lord said, I am. You tell them, I am hath sent you. I am Jehovah. I am God. I am Jehovah Jireh. You tell them, I am Jehovah Jireh has sent you. Abraham took his son to the top of that mountain to offer him as a burnt offering to God. That's what God told him to do. And He took him up there to offer him as a burnt offering. And just before Abraham plunged the knife into his son, God said, Abraham, Abraham, look behind you. There is a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham laid hold of that ram and threw him on his son and slayed that ram. And the blood of that ram ran all over Isaac. And it ran all over that altar. And Abraham cried at the top of his lungs, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. What do we need to be saved? The Lord will provide. What do we have to offer God? The Lord will provide. What must we have in order for God to be satisfied? The Lord will provide. He will provide. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Throughout the Scripture, He's referred to as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And many names. He's given many names that describe Him. But the one that we've been commanded to call Him today was announced by an angel when Jehovah was manifest in the flesh. The angel said, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jehovah Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The Lord our Savior. Verse 1, bless the Lord Jesus Christ. O my soul, and all that is within me, kneel before, adore, praise, salute, thank His holy name. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 2 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Benefits means good services. It means acts of kindness. What are His acts of kindness to us? Verse 3 says, He has forgiven all your iniquities. He's forgiven all your iniquities. Every sin you have ever committed, He's forgiven it. If He has called you to Himself, if He has given you a heart to bless Him, to kneel before Him and praise Him and bow to Him, then every sin you've ever committed, He has forgiven it. How did He do that? He took it. Verse 3 says, He has healed all your diseases. How did He do that? He took them. Verse 4 says, He has redeemed your life from destruction. How did He do that? He took it. He took that destruction. He took it all. We naturally hear that and we think, but I still sin. If He has forgiven all my iniquity, why do I still commit sin? And I still get sick. If He's healed all my diseases, why do I still get sick? And I'm still going to die. How can I be redeemed from destruction if every man and woman on this earth is appointed to it? It's because we're still living life in a sin-infected flesh. When Christ bore the sin of all of His people, He bore all of the sin that this flesh would ever commit. It still commits sin, and Christ bore it all to the grave. When He took the diseases that His people had to bear, all of the diseases that sin brought, He took every disease that would happen to the grave. On the cross, His entire body was more marred than any man. Not only did He bear all of that sin, He bore all of the effects of that sin. He bore all the sickness. Everything that sin brings on us, He bore it all. All the sickness, all the death. All that happens at the end of a believer's life is He lays down that body of death. He lays down the body of sin. So there's nothing to fear. That's something to rejoice in. No more sin, no more sickness, no more death. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The end of verse 4 says, He has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's the crown that God's people wear. Loving kindness, that means grace. Loving kindness and tender mercy. If God has truly given us a heart to bless the Lord, a heart to kneel before Christ and adore Christ and praise Christ, then we're among the ones who have been crowned with grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. He has given us what we did not deserve. And He has not given us what we did deserve. He gave us what Christ deserved. He gave Christ what we deserve. That was God's loving kindness and tender mercy to us. Verse 5, it says, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. David said, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If God does not put that taste in a sinner, then a sinner will never taste it. A sinner may want to taste it. A sinner may try to taste it. A sinner may think he's tasting it. But if God does not put it in there, a sinner will never taste it. If God does put it in there, and a sinner does taste that the Lord is good, then a sinner will never untaste it. If God puts it there, he'll never untaste it. David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He said, "How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Do you believe he meant that? And can we say that with him? To the person that God has never put that taste in his mouth, he can't say that. Honey is sweeter. But to a sinner against God who needs mercy, to a soul whose only hope is God's grace, honey has nothing on it. It's sweeter. Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 6, it says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, to every soul that is suffering under the hard bondage of sin." Not every soul is. Some aren't suffering at all. Some love the bondage of sin. But to every soul that is oppressed, suffering under that hard bondage, he has provided a just, right, perfect way of escape. What is that way? Verse 7. "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." He said, "Moses, slay a lamb." "Moses, put a serpent on a pole and lift it up. Moses, strike the rock." That rock was Christ. That serpent was Christ. That lamb was Christ. Our Lord said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." "Moses, lift that serpent up and all the people will be healed." You tell them to look to the very thing that is killing them. Christ made to be our sin. You tell them to look to him and they'll live. "Moses, strike that rock and every thirsty soul will be refreshed." They will drink, they will drink. They'll live. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Well, how has he dealt with us? How has he rewarded us? According to his mercy. His mercy through the lamb. His mercy through the pole. His mercy through the rock. Mercy through his own blood. The mercy that he provided for us. How much mercy does he have? I believe this would be a truly good question for every person to ask. Is there still enough mercy for me? Is there still enough mercy for me? Verse 11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." The heaven is space, outer space. How high is outer space? How far does it go? At what point do you hit that wall that says, "No more"? Man could never find that out. Never could mankind ever reach the end of it. Never. That's how much mercy he has for us. Verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." If one went in a straight line east and one went in a straight line west, they would never meet up ever again. They would never touch each other ever again. That's how far Christ has removed us from our sin. So, so far removed, so gone. Verse 13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Have you ever pitied something? Seen something or seen someone and it just grabbed your heart? You just felt something indescribable for their condition. Has that ever happened to you? Your heart just gone out to them. I'm sure you've seen someone that I'm thinking of someone in my mind. My heart went out to somebody. I saw somebody, and I'm sure it's happened to you. You've seen somebody, and it's like your heart leaves your body. Your heart just goes out to them. Oh, you see the sad state they're in. And I'm sure you've entered into the mindset of what it would be like to be in their shoes and live life as they know it. Live life in that condition. And you just pity them. You pity them. And inside you say, "I truly, sincerely wish there was something I could do." Well, our Lord looked at us and it grabbed his heart. And he felt something indescribable for our condition. He pitied us. And he said within his heart, "There is something I can do." And he did it. Verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." I pray that's the so. I pray that's the case. As long as the ministry continues here, I pray that this gospel and his goodness and his mercy is to children's 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 children. May that be so. How do we keep his covenant? It's to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. How do we keep his covenant? We don't. The covenant keeps us. But every soul that the covenant keeps, God gives that soul a love for the covenant, a love for the covenant of his blood. We have a love for the covenant of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the soul that covenant is keeping lays hold on the covenant and pulls it close, keeps it close. And that soul confesses, "This covenant is my only hope. This is all I have. All I have is his covenant to me." And every soul that's found in that covenant will remember God's commandments and will do them. What are his commandments? "Love the Lord your God and love all who love the Lord your God." Love God with all that is within you and love your brethren with all that is within you. Verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He is seated on his throne. He is the ruler over all. So, kneel before, adore, praise, salute, and thank him. Verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And along with all that, may this right here not get left out. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God give every soul here a heart to say that. I mean truly in the heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank the Lord. I praise you. I kneel before you. I bow. I love you. Bless the Lord. All right, let's all stand together.